You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is a New York Times best-selling author and has a great Substack called For Such a Time as This. Andra Watkins is here. Good morning, Andra. So good to see you.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here.
There's a lot to talk about.
There always is these days.
Yes,
right?
There certainly is. Andra, by the way, in case you have never heard Andra, she's been a guest on our show before. Andra grew up in a white nationalist household and so has really interesting insights, I think, that a lot of us don't have just because of your background. We've talked to you in the past about Christian nationalism and how important they were in the writing of Project 2025, and now we have Pete Hegseth, the head of the Department of Defense, who made headlines last week. He shared a video on social media showing his church pastors the communion of Reformed evangelical churches. His pastor thinks that women shouldn't have the right to vote.
And many white Christian nationalist men subscribe to this view. I applaud CNN for featuring these people, even though they featured them as some sort of really extremist outlier group. But what I want people to understand is there are millions of Americans who subscribe to these viewpoints. People have done, the Pew Research Organization has done a study of how many American Christians are radicalized Christian nationalists. And I ran some numbers, and it could be anywhere from 20 million to 60 million Americans who are radicalized. Maybe every single one of them don't think that women should have the right to vote repealed and the 19th Amendment repealed. But there are millions and millions of Doug Wilsons and his weak, pathetic Christian nationalist brethren that you met on CNN in the United States today. So please don't take that interview and Pete Hegseth's response to it as being, well, these are just a few wackos. Mm-hmm. It's millions and millions of Americans, and we have to take this radicalized religious extremism seriously.
Well, and the preparation for this has been going on for decades. This movement has been around and kind of operating in the background for a long, long time.
50 years. They've been working toward this for 50 years. So this kind of indoctrination is very commonplace in Christian nationalism, where men are the heads of the home and women submit to them, which they talked about in the interview, talked about it very proudly, but they expand that to all women are supposed to submit to men, that's the common order of society. We, you know, in my lifetime, women have gained a huge number of rights that for much of history, women did not have. There were rules from medieval times, at least, that were called coverture, that governed women's existence. And so women were owned by the men in their lives. Right. They weren't separate people. Women went from being their fathers being responsible to them for them. If they didn't have a father, then an uncle or a brother was responsible for them until they married. And then their husbands were responsible for them. And they were subsumed into their husband's asset class of things that they owned. And if they lost their husband and weren't remarried right away, then their father or their brother or their uncle or some other man became responsible for them. So in my lifetime, we've seen women be able to get away from that kind of ownership and do things like own property and have bank accounts and get their own credit and be able to have jobs and careers. And these are all things that these Christian nationalist men want to take back and remove from women. So it's not just about being in the home and submitting. It's women submit to men everywhere, all the time, just like, you know, in Afghanistan with the Taliban.
Back to the good old days, essentially.
Yeah. Good old days for white Christian nationalist men.
Yeah. For white men. Yes. Times were great when you were me. Greg.
I got nothing to say. I don't represent the white men of any. I'm just me. Two things. Whenever we talk about the context of white men, which I am one of those individuals, and I apologize, I always try to put myself into that thinking of how do you even come to that place? I guess I can never, because I was never, and I'll say it, indoctrinated, trained to think that way. The notion of women as property or women as subservient, or I am the head of this, or I am in charge. I was never raised in that kind of household from start to finish. So it makes no sense to me. But one of the things I really want to push home on this, Andra, is that the calculations of how many people believe in this, but also the fact that Pete Hegseth would retweet this 10, 15 years ago, this would never happen. You may believe it, but you're not dumb enough or bold enough, or maybe both, to say something out loud. What we are seeing now are politicians, influencers, journalists who agree with this and say it either like, well, I don't know, it's every family's different, or they come right out and say it. So it is absolutely not the fringe wackos. It is in our politicians, it is in our journalism, it is in our everyday life. And I'm not saying, oh, you might, the person on your right might believe in that, but what I'm saying is you can't discount the idea that people who are voting on laws that represent us have these opinions, because as you said, Andra, it's been 50 years. It has been waiting in the tall grass. So don't think these people are wackos who should be ignored. They are not the fringe. They are the mainstream to a certain extent.
Yes, they are. Or they're being mainstream.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that they've done really well that I've talked about a lot is they had this private way of talking where they'd say things like this amongst themselves and they wouldn't get in front of a camera or a microphone and say them. Now that they're consolidating power, they feel like they can bring more of their private crazy, their private extremism out into the public sphere and pound their chests and be proud of it. And so that's what you see Pete Hegseth doing. Even 3 years ago, Greg, they would not have gotten in front of a microphone or a camera or put something like this on social media. The head of the Department of Defense would not have done that. But now they feel like they're consolidating enough power and there are enough of them in the right positions that they can say things like this, that they can try to even more mainstream these thoughts and these beliefs and try to force them into our public spaces and into our laws. And that's what their goals are. You know, that's what Doug Wilson wants.
Yes.
He wants a Christian nationalist theocracy, and he says that readily. But so does Russell Vogt,
yep,
who's the head of the Office of Management and Budget and controls now the purse strings of the entire federal government. He only believes that white Christian nationalist men should be politicians and should be working in government. And he's gone on the record as saying that. So they're very publicly saying things now that they would only say privately even 2 or 3 years ago. It's frightening, but Americans have to stop being complacent and realize that this isn't just a small cadre of crazy people. It's millions and millions of Americans.
If you're just joining us, you listen to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are speaking with Andra Watkins, who is a New York Times bestselling author, also has a wonderful Substack called For Such a Time as This. And Andra, I think also, I think that's a great way you put it, the mainstreaming of this idea. I also think something that we need to combat is also the fact that we just have so much information coming at us at all time. It's every day there is a controversial thing out there. Someone has said something that's surely going to get someone in trouble, and they don't get in trouble because 2 hours later something else happens. So Pete Hegseth tweeting retweeting this person out, it's awful, it's terrible, but an hour later, the people who are outraged are moving on to something else
because there's so much.
They're either picking their kids up or they're watching a different news story. So I guess the question I have is, how do people then engage in these topics in a meaningful, relative way to keep them fresh, essentially? Because like we're trying not to let people forget about Epstein. We're trying to not let people forget about the big, beautiful bill for billionaires. But it's tough.
But it's all connected.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people who are pushing all of these things are pushing all of these things at once. And a lot of these things are being done as distractions to keep us from paying attention to the MAGA murder law now that's stripping our safety nets and our health care and other things away so that billionaires can have tax breaks. A lot of this other stuff is theater for that. But you have to understand that the people in the background in the administration who were really in charge, who were really implementing this, use the president because he's really good at keeping people distracted and outraged and giving us things to chase. So, you know, my advice to Americans is don't even pay attention to him. I very seldom write about him or talk about him. You know, I keep the attention on these people in the background who were really in charge of implementing this stuff. So rather than talk about Pete Hegseth, I try to talk about the Christian nationalist men who are behind people like Pete Hegseth, who are encouraging them to have these opinions and keep the pressure on them and keep people paying attention to them, because they're the real problems, and that's who we should be talking about every day.
Well, and I think
as part of the
bigger picture. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, going back to something that you said, that this effort to mainstream this Christian nationalist view has been going on for decades. It's been going on for 50 years. And the Duggars, remember the Duggar family with their 9,000 children and all of the controversies that followed that. Amazon has a great piece called Shiny Happy People about the Duggars and that whole movement. That was the Quiverful movement. They're all kind of interconnected, right, as far as women being second-class citizens. And essentially, we're there to deliver babies, which Pete Hegseth's favorite pastor says requires no skill.
Right. And women are just, you know, people who produce other people.
It just happens.
And that doesn't require any talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just vessels and chattel, and that's really all we're good for. So, you know, that is a key component of whatever flavor of Christian nationalism you're touting or they're touting. One of the things that I say a lot of the times when I come on here, though, is these people all hate each other internally. So Doug Wilson doesn't believe that women should have any leadership role in a church, as an example. So he hates the Dominionist New Apostolic Reformation faction, where people like Paula White Cain, who have the ear of the president,
right,
can be in leadership positions. So there's going to at some point be a huge ruction between these factions because they don't agree about a lot of things.
We're to continue our conversation with Andra Watkins, best-selling New York Times author and the owner of the Substack called For Such a Time as This. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Andra Watkins. She is a New York Times bestselling author and also has a great Substack called For Such a Time as This, and has been watching very closely the increasing influence of Christian nationalism in the Trump administration, thanks to some of the authors of Project 2025. We now have these Christian nationalist members within the Trump administration working in the administration. Pete Hegseth, the head of the Defense Department, retweeted his favorite pastor last week, Doug Wilson, who doesn't think women should have the right to vote. Let's go back to the good old days, like the 1800s when everything was ducky. Andra, you have a really good column that you shared about what we can do to fight back against this and who our defenders need to be. I think this is really an important message.
And I want to go back to Greg's comment about apologizing for being a white man. You shouldn't apologize for being a white man, Greg. You're one of the men who could be standing up to this right now, which you are. But Christian nationalist men are trained not to listen to women. They do not listen to women speak. They do not give women opportunities to talk. They do not hear women. I said earlier today to someone else, women to them are like the Charlie Brown cartoons. And when adults talk in the Charlie Brown cartoons, it's
yep.
It's a set annoying noise. And to white Christian nationalist men, that's women talking. And also to white Christian nationalist women, they are indoctrinated to only listen to men and to the other white Christian nationalist women that those white Christian nationalist men tell them to listen to. So they don't listen to any other women either besides the women those men tell them to listen to. So it's really important. Women can fight back against this, and we are. But men have to stand up to this and say, this is not acceptable. We are not going to sit back and watch you white Christian nationalist men attack our women, attack other women, remove rights from women, oppress women, tell women they can't vote, tell women they can't have bodily autonomy. And it's really important for men to get that message right now, because Heather Cox Richardson wrote a few months ago about the Taliban and how when they first came in yes. Afghanistan, they took rights away from women. Women are practically enslaved in their homes now in Afghanistan and can't even leave their homes without a male relative who's an escort for them. But now in the past few months, the Taliban have switched to men. They tell men how to wear their beards. They tell men how to dress. They give men tickets if they don't go to temple, to Islamic temple, a certain number of times a month, because they're required to be there. And if they miss a certain number of times now, they can be jailed and fined.
I bet they don't like that.
And the men are saying, what is this? You know, we didn't want this kind of control. And we wish we had stepped up a couple of years ago or more when they were taking rights away from women. Now we didn't realize they'd come after us.
Oh yeah.
So men realize that these men will come after you too. And step up now and defend women, because you're the only people they might listen to, and you're the people who might be able to stop them.
And that's something that completely aligns with an idea we have talked about for a long time now, which is, yes, you may support this. You may think some of these ideas are great coming out of the Trump administration, but eventually they will affect you too. And then we're already seeing people who are saying, I didn't vote for this. Yes, you did. Own it and let's move on together. But you have to own the fact that you voted for this, and it'll affect you eventually someday. And you standing there going, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. I don't like this. You don't. But here we are. Let's move together and let's go forward. But yes, that is an amazing example. And we see it all the time. People are like, I just didn't know this was going to happen to us. I'm like, well, that doesn't matter anymore. We got to work.
Well, and admit that you were lied to.
Yes.
Admit that you were lied to. That's probably the hardest part.
Well, and it's funny to me to watch somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene now, who is a woman who has voted for all of this, who has enabled all of this. And suddenly it seems like scales are falling off of her eyes, and she's realizing that enabling all of these white Christian nationalist men and supporting them and parroting what they say is not giving her more power. It's not elevating her any further. I think she realizes that at some point she's going to be told, you've served your purpose, go back home and stay at home now.
Yeah.
And so that is what a few of these women, I think, are starting to see. But they're coming for all of us, and they will eventually come for you men. So stand up now. Say no now. It's imperative that you do.
Andrew Watkins is a New York Times best-selling author, has an incredible Substack. I highly encourage you to subscribe. It's called For Such a Time as This. We will include a link in our show notes. Andrew Watkins, thank you so very much. Really, really appreciate your insight. We will see you next month.
Bye. Great to be here.
We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk to Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to The Vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Network app.
I haven't said enough.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up this hour. Last half hour of the show, we will lighten it up as we always do with audio sorbet. Chance to get away from the news, clean our brains a little bit.
Audio sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
There you go. Today's groundbreaking discussion will be sweet pickles versus dill pickles. I started a war yesterday. I didn't realize this was such a hot topic, but sweet versus dill pickles, that's audio sorbet after 10:30. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Sleeping Beauty edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now, we are delighted to be joined by Robert Pilot. He is the host of Native Roots Radio and has one of the best voices on the planet. In fact, I'm going to be sending you my refrigerator manual, Robert, so you can record it, and then I can play it at night when I'm trying to fall asleep. Robert Pilot is here. Good morning, Robert.
Easy. Hey, thanks for having me on. That was awesome. Really glad to be here and talk about some things. And I just got to give a quick shout out to Civic Media for really amplifying Native Roots Radio all over Wisconsin, too. So just want to give a shout out to Civic Media right away before I forget, because I have a good memory, but it's short.
Hey, I'm with you on that. By the way, Native Roots Radio airs across the network from 8 to 9 weeknights here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Fantastic show. Robert is the host. Again, Native Roots Radio here across the network weeknights from 8 to 9 on Civic Media. Robert, one of the reasons why we wanted to talk to you was about the recent decision to cut the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That helps pay for PBS, NPR, 1,500 local radio and TV stations, of course, programs like Sesame Street and so many more. And public radio has really been critically important for our Native populations for a long time, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we do, Native Roots Radio does the best of on WOJB in Hayward, and 45% of their budget has been cut. And that's a 100,000-watt station that covers three different states. And so that's significant, you know, and, you know, just in Wisconsin, other than tribal stations, there's been, you know, 40 stations will be affected in Wisconsin and over two dozen in Minnesota. And I know specifically for me, I do a show, I'm on 5 days a week, and I do a show once a month called Little Moments Count. And we bring in experts about, you know, how to raise your kids and talk to your kids from, you know, age zero to 7 years old. And that's funded by NPR here. They pay for that when they come on Native Roots Radio. And so it affects me to a degree, but it's also, it's frightening to see our partners out there and people speaking the truth be cut like this. And it's just, you know, half the game plan, or I think I heard three quarters of the game plan of 2025 is completed now. So yeah, we are definitely China right now, and we're heading towards Russia. So we need to be careful. And the one thing I always like to talk about on Native Roots Radio too is not only solutions and how we're taking care of ourselves and calls to action, but also that Native Americans are used to this. This is nothing new to us, and not that surprising. But also, you know, when we try to, you know, my tribe specifically, Ho-Chunk Nation, I was a legislator for 4 years for Ho-Chunk Nation. And the week after Trump took over, we lost something like $8 million, and we had to lay off 80 people on the healthcare system. And so it affects everything, even though we want to say it doesn't, but it does.
Well, and that's something, Robert, that for me, I kind of put it out there into the world on social media, and I know, first mistake, is to say, justify this for me. Tell me why cutting this funding is fiscally responsible / making America great again, if you will. And someone came back at me to say, well, it's because of their model, and they weren't making money, and they didn't adopt platforms like online and all these fiscal excuses. But when I looked it up myself, Donald Trump has flatly come out and said that PBS, you know, where Mr. Rogers lives, and NPR are liberal, woke bastions of indoctrination. So this isn't about a business model or about finance. This is about, as you just mentioned, messages that can be perceived as a threat to power and to a threat to, quote, their version of America. So I don't think it's about finance. It's about silencing voices.
Well, that's true. They wouldn't be sending troops to Washington, yeah, or L.A. They'd be sending them to Tennessee and to these places where crime has gone up. So it's all about attacking the blue states and people that don't feel the same the way that president does. So it's just it's an attack. One of the things, Jane and Greg, I'd like to ask you as an interviewer, I was a big Bernie guy, mm-hmm, you know, and I wonder how he's getting all these things done where our Democratic relatives couldn't seem to get anything done. So how is he getting all this done? And so that makes me pause too. And again, you know, there's an old saying with the Native Americans is, you know, the left wing and the right wing are from the same bird. And so that's what we've been dealing with for 500 years, yeah, here as Native Americans. But we cannot run now on one issue. I mean, vote. We cannot vote on one issue. And I think that's what happened the last time around, is that people were talking about Gaza and things like that, where, no, look what's happening right now. You know, the first presidency that Trump had, he was recorded, I think, 65,000 lies in 4 years.
Yeah, he was busy.
Let's just recognize the talent, okay, of lying at that kind of velocity.
Really quite something, actually.
But
well, it's amazing too, because all his followers now appear to be doing that too. Mm. And I remember there was a hat that came out when he was first elected that said "Make racists afraid again." Well, they're not. They're with the mainstream media, and you know, they're getting the thumbs up to do whatever they want, and that's the really most disappointing thing for me. And that's why shows like yours, ours, and being on civic media is so important, is because you, as we spit out the, you know, there's five companies that own 95% of the airs. Yep. And we know who owns civic media, and we know who owns AM 950. You're talking to the people that do that, and so it's frightening times, but it's important that Jane and Greg and Robert do not give up.
Yeah, we got to keep talking about it. Yeah. I mean, it is about making sure that the accurate information is out there. Yeah. And I want, for my estimation, Democrats ceded a lot of territory for a really long time. And at least in the case of AM radio, allowed the right wing to dominate AM radio for decades and decades. And so for many areas, especially in rural communities, that became the only source for information. And civic media's goal is to provide accurate information for people who might not be getting it otherwise. And I think PBS was the same thing. They reported facts. Facts don't care about your feelings. Who did we hear that from so many times,
so many people, over and over again?
By the way, if you're just joining us, Robert Pilot is our guest. He's the host of Native Roots Radio, which airs across the network Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 p.m.
And I think, Robert, what you're saying now is so interesting, because we just spoke to Andrew Watkins on the topic of white Christian nationalism making its way into the mainstream of our government, our halls of power, whether it's TV, radio, government, all those things. And everything you are talking about connects to the conversation there. You talk about the fact that Native folks have been getting this sort of treatment for so long, and now people who, you know, people who would agree with the uplift of Native folks, tribes, the issues that you face on a daily basis, are now sitting here going, how can they do that to us? Well, now Native folks saying, yeah, they've been doing it for a long time. Where were you this whole time? And also the question of Democrats versus Republicans, that is such a huge question to ask. And I think for me, the immediate, not an answer, but something that provides maybe some context of the conversation, is I feel like Democrats underestimated so many things for so long. And I think with regard to what you said, Jane, is for decades, AM radio was the place for this information. We counted that as the fringe. We counted that those individuals as, well, they're saying crazy things. That's too crazy. That's not America.
Not fringe.
And as Andra said in the previous hour, this is not fringe. This is mainstream. That's who is in charge now, because they were listening to these people for five decades.
I don't know how I could do this. I, you know, I'm 64 years old, so my South Park era was, you know, 20 years ago, really enjoying it. But now, how are they the only media out there that's taking care of really what we need to talk about? It's crazy. CBS bowed down. You know, and again, mainstream media is normalized all this, and is saying it's okay to be racist again.
Well, and the reckoning is going to be coming again. It's this, well, they're not going to touch me. I did what he asked. Mm-hmm. We did what the president wanted. We did the thing, whatever the thing was. So therefore we're going to be safe. That's not how it works.
Right.
That's not how it works.
I don't know any billionaires, and
we hang out with the wrong people, Robert. We're not hanging out with the right people.
Everybody's fair game now, so they don't know that, you know. You know, it's just crazy. I have a sister-in-law who's a teacher in New York, and guess who she voted for? You know, I mean, are you kidding me? In New York City, where it's a melting pot of people, you're voting against your own interests, your own your own students. It's just an amazing thing that's happened.
What is her justification, Robert? What does she say?
Well, let me tell you this. this is what drives my wife crazy, because she's a New Yorker too. And about her sister, and hopefully her sister's not listening, but probably not. She's listening to Fox. Is she wanted to? How did she put that? She wanted to, support her husband. Her husband's a raving Republican. So
she's going to vote like he does.
Yeah. Hello, 1955.
What were we just talking about last hour? I'm not kidding you, Robert. Your conversation, the discussion we were having right now, is like a part two to what we were talking about with Andrew Watkins. This idea of the woman's vote reflects her husband because, well, he's my husband. And that, when you say that line, says he's the head of the house and he is the one in charge and he knows better.
We're going to continue our conversation with Robert Pilot on the other side. He's the host of Native Roots Radio. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Thank God for the radio. When I'm on the road. When I'm
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream, hello live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by the host of Native Roots Radio that you can catch across Civic Media weeknights from 8 to 9 p.m. Robert Pilot is here. We were talking about the recent cuts to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and what that is going to mean, particularly for our native populations, which get a lot of their information from NPR. And we had a text come in from Troy from Mount Horeb. Greg, when Robert said about your sister, we both sighed audibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, I don't even know what to do with that.
And before we went to the commercial, you wanted to say something, Robert. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to continue that thought.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I just remembered what she said to my wife, and that was, I want to honor my husband. And I'm going, what year is this? 1951? And it's just a mind-blowing situation, and I just don't know how to respond. We don't talk any politics when I'm in New York, because I do a lot of my show from New York, Long Island, and I just saw them the last time I was there, and we didn't talk any. But I did talk to her husband and just say, I did say, I'd speak my opinion. He asked me, how are things going? And I told him.
And what did he say?
He somewhat agreed, which kind of really surprised me. So if that's any indication of what's happening, and I believe it is an indication that people are waking up to it, and that's why the gerrymandering is going to be happening in Texas. They're worried about 2026, and they should be. But we also have to keep talking about issues. And that's the thing that Native Roots Radio, in a Native perspective, it keeps talking about the issues. And it's hard because people like, I'm sure, Greg and you, Jane, have gotten really worn out by all this going on every day. There's something, you know, I there's things like he wanted the Washington team to bring back the racist name, all these things. And I try to, when I post on social media, which I'm on Blue Sky too, and I and trying to really combat the X experience with Blue Sky. But every time I post something, whether it's political, it's like, he's on the list is what I end it with.
Well, and that's, I mean, it's one of the reasons why we've started doing audio sorbet towards the end of the show, is because if we were to talk about this stuff 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, there comes a point of burnout. So that little bit of time where we can all come together, have a little bit of laugh, have a little bit of brevity and a levity, then that's the important thing. And going back to what you just said about your brother-in-law or your sister-in-law's husband, we also spoke to Andrew about that, and people are starting to wake up and say, I didn't vote for this. This is not what I wanted. But in fact, you did. He didn't really hide a whole lot of what he was going to do. He made it very clear what he wanted to accomplish.
But he lied about a lot of stuff, too.
Well,
because that's what he does.
Yes. And and the fact that they don't know by now that he is a pathological terminal liar, that's something that's they have to justify with themselves. But also that notion of what you said, your sister-in-law, her reason for voting for Trump was to honor her husband. And I wonder, was she the type of person 10 years ago who would have said those words specifically, I want to honor my husband? Or is it because of this administration and this movement, people are feeling that they need to do these things? They're feeling an obligation to honor the family, therefore honor the husband, who is the head of the household, and he is in charge.
Well, and if you're listening to the rhetoric that's going on, you know, we have somebody that's in the administration that wants to get rid of women's right to vote.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yep.
So that's where we are right now. But again, hopefully people are waking up. I mean, when I marched to the Capitol here in St. Paul, you know, after the murders of and assassination of our leaders here, Hortman and her husband,
horrific,
you know, they wanted to call it off, but there was 80,000 people at the Capitol that same day. So people want to be engaged and do things. I just want our politicians to snap out of it, and more AOC, more Bernie, more governor, from California, that governor, Newsom, the governor of Illinois, more of that is what we need. And call the kettle black.
Yeah,
you know,
this playing nice, this trying to play nice to get along, go along to get along, is not the way to go forward. That is not the answer to the mess that we're in.
And they're not playing by the rules,
right? Can't. Exactly, no. Exactly.
And I will say this: whatever is happening to Marjorie Taylor Greene right now, I don't know what's happening. It could all change tomorrow, but it's the watching someone's eyes open in real time to what is going on in the world because of the things she has helped put. That is what we're going to see from more people in the news saying, "I didn't vote for, I didn't want this." Well, it's what you got.
Robert Pilot is the host of Native Roots Radio, which you can catch across the network weeknights from 8 to 9. And by the way, Robert Ardith on a live stream says, I agree with Jane about Robert Pilot's glorious voice. It is the most soothing sound on radio. I'll be sending you my kitchen my Whirlpool washer kitchen manual so you can read it for me, and then I can play it when I try to fall asleep. I'd appreciate that.
Well, a big Peeny Gee, thank you so much for having me on, and keep up the good work, and thank we got to keep fighting, really.
Appreciate it, Robert. Thank you so very much. We have news coming up next when we return. Sillier things so we can take a breath. Audio sorbet, sweet versus dill pickles. The fight is on.
There's no fight.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.